Welcome to Paper Talks, the latest opinion and industry insight from James Cropper. My name's Richard Dancy and I'm the brand manager at Colourform. Colourform is a multi-award-winning thermoformed pulp packaging innovation. Experts in our field, we deliver a full service direct to brands. With moulded fibre and unbridled creativity as its heart, Colourform never stops exploring. Today, we are delighted to welcome Michelle Feeney, founder and CEO of Floral Street. Michelle is something of a beauty powerhouse. She started in PR before moving to New York and becoming headhunted by Estee Lauder companies to work on prescriptives and creme de la mer, before becoming VP Global Comms of MAC Cosmetics. She spearheaded the MAC AIDS Fund and Viva Glam initiatives, realizing that beauty could create broader social awareness and change, and that's something that she's still doing with us. After moving back to the UK, Michelle went on to become CEO of Saint-Tropez, pioneering their Prince's Trust collaboration, CEO of PZ Cousins Beauty Division, before taking a career sabbatical. Michelle burst back onto the scene with the launch of Floral Street, a modern British fragrance brand with sustainability and eco-responsibility at its very core. The pioneering collaboration between Colourform and Floral Street is what we're going to discuss today. So, hello, Michelle.
Wow, that was a big introduction. Thank you so much. You know, you've compressed 35 years of somebody's life into about 10 seconds there, Richard. Very good.
Excellent. So how are you today? Where do we find you?
Oh, well, I'm in London. I've just come back from Rome, actually. I was at the World Retail Congress, mm-hmm. where sustainability was most of the conversation, from like the CEO of Levi's through to food companies. So it was really heartening that the big boys, as well as us little boys, are doing some really interesting things, you know.
Feels like it's finally become mainstream to talk about sustainability.
And
it's a must nowadays, isn't it? Rather than something that's
off on the side.
I don't know, a niche area. Exactly. So excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and let's get stuck straight in. So Floral Street were an early adopter of Colourform. So tell us about that. What were the factors influencing your decision to work with ourselves and choose molded fibre, and what were the advantages of that packaging solution?
Well, I blindly, really, even though I'd had a lot of experience in the beauty industry, decided to, you called it a sabbatical, I called it a gap year at 51, but because I never had one of those, but I decided sustainability needed to be at the heart of the Floral Street brand in fragrance. So I'd managed to secure Robert A, who are the leading fragrance house in sustainably sourced ingredients. And I was looking for a solution on packaging that was totally recyclable, was the goal.
Yeah.
I haven't done packaging before. I hadn't done. The person that was working with me at the time on product went to an exhibition and said, I think this is interesting. And we literally picked up the phone to you guys and said, would you be interested in working with us on some packaging for a beauty product? Because Colourform hadn't done that at all.
Yeah.
So they obviously, your team said, yes, that would be great. We got together. We looked at our bottle. The whole process was amazing, actually. So we worked with our designers and your design team. We came up with the way that the packaging could work with the bottle. It went away to be made into a mold. And then off we went. And, I was at packaging events for Cropper. They were pulling me out to send me out to sort of do a bit of PR for you, I think, actually.
Yeah.
And, but we were groundbreaking. But what was interesting, I mean, that whole collaboration was amazing. And to think that, you know, I was a startup, an absolute startup from scratch, and I was doing this in the beauty industry. I thought lots of people would want to really write about it and embrace it. And it was really, really difficult for people to get anybody to be interested in that side of things for beauty. It was really disheartening, to be honest. And then we were designing the store in Covent Garden, and our architect, you know, anybody you speak to in design of any any discipline, absolutely love that box. And it's I think it's the new luxury, basically, which has come to fruition now, because I know you're working with other people. But we then decided with the architect to put the lids of the boxes to make up the walls of the shop to tell that story.
That's right.
Architecturally, it's beautiful. You've been in there. I mean, I think that the, you know, it really has stopped, made people think. And I know now it has introduced you to the beauty industry as a company, and also led to some more experimentation and other contracts, which is really great.
Yeah, it was. And just to let people know, we're talking back 2015, 2016?
16, really. Well, we launched 2017, yeah. So that's right.
Yeah, that's right. So I think things have moved on quite a lot in that time. And you're right, you know, we were a startup as well, you know, we're part of the James Cropper PLC group. However, Colourform itself is a separate entity, and it's very much a startup. So we were both really finding our way.
Teaching and learning.
Yeah. And now I think, you know, well, I know both companies have really gone on to progress and grow, and we've been working, like you say, in the drinks industry, in the fragrance industry, in the beauty industry, and you're also expanding out into different sectors and different countries across the world, which is great. The other thing that is really interesting and innovative for both parties is the fact that the packaging, the Colourform Floral Street packaging, includes reclaimed fibre from our cup cycling. So our facility, many people have probably heard in the industry about our cup cycling, and it's had an awful lot of interest and a lot of publicity. But you were one of the very first for us to put in the packaging, along with Lush. In fact, we worked with Lush,
You worked with cycling. Lush before us, actually, I think, on the bath bomb stuff.
That's right.
But that to me, we couldn't do that at the beginning, because you were early days of doing that yourselves, you know, just solving that issue. And what's quite interesting, Richard, is, you know, I as you alluded to at the beginning, I've been in positions of building brands, taking them from being small and making them global, and being in big companies like Lauder that have multiple individuals working on packaging and different things. But the fact that you guys in Britain have come up with this way of extruding the plastic out of the cups, and now I think the world is ready to hear that story, like it wasn't 4 years ago, weirdly.
Right. Yeah.
The consumer wasn't ready to take it on board. Maybe a small amount were, but now it is in mainstream. And we are very excited at Floral Street to be focusing on telling that story now, that cup cycle story. And I know it's not the ultimate solution. It is a solution to a problem right now that we have in our societies. But you know what? That is not going to change for quite some time. So, and I think working with you guys and seeing how you are innovating and pushing things forward, don't underestimate how that influences us as well into push ourselves to think differently. So I'm really excited about this next phase of telling the story with Cropper. And very proud everywhere. You know, we're in 22 countries now, and we've just made a little movie, as you know, of the whole process. And, you know, Sephora are going to put that on their platforms across Europe. We're hoping we're going to have it in Australia and the US and Canada as well. So I feel very proud that we're both British companies, you know, those independent British companies that are doing things differently in a world that has a lot more money and a lot more access, you know?
Yeah, no, it's great. You're absolutely right. You know, telling that story about the cup cycling and that innovation and the way it's used is, you know, we've obviously known about it for some time, but there's plenty of people who haven't heard about it. And it's very interesting. And the way that or yourself with your fantastic photography and colours and sort of all the wonderful, you can almost smell it from the screen. It's so sort of floral and looks fantastic. The more people see that, and the beautiful sort of story from taking the fibre, recycling it from coffee cups. And we're based up here in the English Lake District in Cumbria, and And it just tells a wonderful story. You've got some wonderful products that link very well to nature, and it fits perfectly. And I was very interested to read that you're using that, and we're ahead of the game in using that to sell and promote your products, rather than some of the traditional themes that are used in the beauty industry, which can feel a little bit dull, perhaps a bit sexist, a bit sort of old, whereas this feels really fresh and new. So that's
great. I think thank you, but I also think, look, I'm responding to, I set up the brand to respond to the modern consumer. The modern consumer wants to know, you know, we tell the story of where our ingredients come from with Robert A, what sustainability in ingredients means. Our packaging, we're really proud because I put money, energy into creating that with you that, you know, I could have used on advertising, to your point, you know, a lot of people. And when I get asked that question, is like, why do you think the fragrance industry does all, you know, why is it so expensive, the bottle? Not our product being expensive, others, you know, because a lot of fragrances are the same quality of Floral Street are 200 quid, you know, £200 or dollars. And I said, I wanted to put the energy into making the package really beautiful and sustainable, not in a TV commercial, you know, with a celebrity. So, and again, I was just at this World Retail Congress and we had breakout groups and everybody was saying, well, sustainability is more expensive. And I'm like, no, it's just a choice. You know, it's a choice for a brand and a brand leader to say, you know, I want to spend it on this and deliver the best thing that I can within my industry for the future of the planet, basically, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's tuning into that, the customer wanting to know what the brand stands for, mm-hmm. the provenance of the supply chain. That really feels like it's moving into the mainstream as well now.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, it's a bit embarrassing to say that you bought something that's dirt cheap and is fast fashion, whereas you've got the kudos of saying that this is something luxury, it's quality, it's got sustainability credentials. So, it's great. Really, really excellent.
I think you as a packaging or, you know, company and anybody else that's listening out there that is in this arena, I think don't underestimate the power of telling the story of the packaging, because that's what we've focused on. You know, to your point, yes, our fragrance, of course, we tell the story of that. But, you know, I've stuck with the box, you know, for 4 years now. It's finally paying off. But, you know, it's those certifications that you have as a supplier are recognized and utilized around the world with, you know, our partners around the world. So that for us, it goes beyond actually creating that box. It's our relationship to tap into your credentials that you spend a lot of money and time getting for your facilities. And that must be the future in packaging.
Yeah, it really has turned, I think, along. You know, we've got used to James Cropper, 176 years old. We're used to being the sort of silent partner in the background. And now in the last sort of, I would say less than 10 years, companies and brands and consumers are really interested, like I said, in the supply chain and the sort of cup cycling brand, the James Cropper brand, the Colorform brand is really coming through now. And I would say it's probably turned on its head now. So most of our clients do want to talk about us and do want to tell the story and do come up here and film videos and showing how it all works. Just on that point, actually, so just let's just explain the box. So the box is truly mono material, and how would people recycle it?
Well, we say we have this little elastic in there, as you know, to keep the lid on.
Yes.
And I'm sure we can redesign it now as we get bigger to even, you know, get rid of that. But we normally say we're taking the work out for the consumer. So you can, I know there's these words around, you know, you don't want to say compostable now, we often say it's biodegradable because it will take time, but it can biodegrade.
Yeah,
so probably that might be the next level of us informing the customer how to do that, you know, or something. But we say even if it goes into, you know, the trash in America or the garbage, where things aren't as structured state by state, city by city, that they are in a country like Britain, maybe, that it's going to break down. And, you know, it'll take time, and we haven't measured that time. I don't know if you have, but that's what I liked about it. But number one, we do a whole little video of what's in your box and what you're going to use it for and how you're going to recycle it. And it's kind of like keeping things in it when you've taken the bottle out. So keeping, a lot of people keep lipsticks in it, or, and they look beautiful or stacked up. So, you know, you can reuse it, you can recycle it, guidelines of where you live in the world. But if it does end up in the rubbish or the trash, we feel it will biodegrade, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know in the UK, recycle with paper, and it's dead easy. And a lot of the packaging and clients and brands that we're working with, replacing packaging that is several different materials. So it could be plastic, it could be paper, it could be wood, metal, all sorts of things. And that makes it very difficult to recycle, where, as you say, we're doing the job for the consumer. It's monomaterial, it's pulp, it's wood fiber, it's something that can just be recycled. So, and I think, didn't you use it as a seed tray once, as some people use it as seed trays?
We actually grew cress in it and filmed it.
Yeah.
Slow speed, you know.
I remember doing that at school.
Somewhere on there. But I mean, you know, that's what I always say, gardeners, you know, use it. I think I'm old enough to remember, you know, I grew up in the late 60s and the 70s, but obviously in the late 60s, the people around me, my grandparents and stuff, you know, had come post-war, where, you know, my nan would save the string off a parcel, and there wasn't all this packaging and there wasn't all this waste. And I think we're going, you know, back to the future, really. So, you know, the more we can evolve as a company to get less and less and less, we will. The challenges of how we've had to tell that story in, you know, a retail world, Richard, we originally started without a sleeve on the outside. If you remember, it was just a box. But when you start shipping globally and you're sitting that on a shelf, and it was Sephora US said, our customers aren't ready yet. They won't understand that. Yeah. You know, there's another fragrance brand. Well, it's a fashion designer that's done a fragrance brand, and I noticed he's done pulp packaging with you. But they maybe don't have to worry about that because it might not be going on tons of shelves. I don't know how they're selling. But we did have to do this sleeve around to visually cue people. And also it does get damaged quite easily on corners and things like that. So I just came through duty free and I noticed Runard have got all their wrapped bottles on there, which is great. I love that champagne, actually. And thank you. I got a lovely one from you guys. But I think that's the biggest challenge with this is, in the current retail situations we all have to, you know, exist in, it's sort of, how does that stand up to the rigors of transportation and sitting on a shelf?
Yeah, I totally agree. There's a reality to, at the end of the day, we're selling a product, and it has to have shelf presence. And as you mentioned, the Runar Second Skin that we did and has been very well publicised, actually is so disruptive in that sector that it does stand out on shelf. It really stands out because it has all the credentials that your the Floral Street box has. And it also has that shelf presence. So it is, I guess, the fragrance industry is next for that to become more mainstream. It will take time for the drinks industry to respond, and there are certain sectors and areas within those industries that are not currently as interested. And it is about, you know, shipping units and selling them, and that's the most important thing. But I think it definitely is turning, and it feels like that, and it feels like you guys have been pioneers in doing that, which is fantastic. And who knows what's to come? Because if the growth rate of Floral Street and of Colourform continues, we are going some, and in the next 5 years, what's going to happen?
We're working on lots of projects. I think I love the innovation that comes from working with a company that's in a different mindset to us. That's where you get this friction that leads to something good. I think if you're just on your own in your industry doing your thing, you know, in my experience of 30 odd years, you know, newness doesn't just come. It has to be from collaborating with packaging and, you know, even the actuators and the different things that we have to put into our fragrances. I think Renard, though, were really brave because their product is really expensive. And, you know, maybe that's helped them in that they can lead the way in that drinks industry because they can sort of say, if we can do it, anybody can do it, you know. But it was a brave and beautiful decision, I think.
Yeah, I think they had the luxury of being able to do that. They did take a big risk, absolutely, and it's paid off. And I think that the one thing that doesn't get factored into these conversations, perhaps at the initial stage, is the benefit to the brand, and not just the publicity, but the how that has. They were actually the oldest champagne house. I know we're not here to talk about Renard, but we're talking about packaging, and they have benefited, as have Floral Street, from having that branding of being innovative and being a first mover and getting all the publicity that comes with that.
Yeah, I think they've been, you know, for us, it's been, because we were so small and absolute startup, you know, telling that story is a little bit harder. But I mean, we had the Wall Street Journal do a little piece about this early on with me and stuff like that. You know, really smart people see where things are going. And I hope we can evolve it even further. And I'm trying to do that with other, you know, parts of the supply chain as well. But something that is future is collaboration, because we all can't do this on our own.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And I was listening to a positive luxury podcast yesterday. They were talking just about that. You know, it's no longer talking about supply chains or, you know, partnerships or whatever. It's collaboration and it's innovation and it's looking to where we, you know, what space we move into next. So we really look forward to doing that with you, continuing. So thank you very much for your time. If we want to find more about Floral Street, where should we go?
Just floralstreet.com, really. I know it almost sounds old-fashioned, a website now, doesn't it? Yeah. You can get us on Insta and this and that, but our website is the place to go. And also, we are really open to any new innovations, to, you know, work with companies to try and get that innovation into the marketplace. And I think if it leads to more success like it has for us both, this collaboration, then that's the best outcome, really.
I will let people go and have a look at the collaboration, really very interesting collaborations that you've got going on at the moment, and I'm sure there'll be more to come. So thank you, Michelle.
Thanks a lot, Richard. I'll see you soon in the Lake District. I will not be leaping into freezing cold water at 6 a.m.
I think you should. Thank you for listening to Paper Talks. You can find out more details at jamescropper.com/papertalks. You can also find us on Instagram and feel free to drop us a line to chat about anything you've heard in this podcast. Thanks again. Goodbye.